told my husband, and I told the elder brethren, and I put in my will that if anything happens to me, you've got to come back to Pittsburgh and bury me. I said, oh, forget about it. We're not thinking about the undertaker. We're thinking about the uppertaker. I said, no, I mean that with all sincerity, that I want you to conduct my funeral service. Then he said, will you please tell me what you're going to say at my service? So I again was put on the spot, you see. So I said, well, I don't really know, but I'll give you an illustration. A friend was conducting a funeral service, and partially turning toward the casket, while addressing the congregation, he said, beloved, our dear brother isn't here. This is just a shell. The nut has gone. I knew it. That's what you would say. Right, how am I going to preach tonight? Right on, let us go back, shall we, to Psalm number 16, the 16th Psalm. This has been a very wonderful day. And right from the very early morning, we've been very conscious of the Lord's presence with us. We've had a very deep sense of the movement of the Holy Spirit. And now we're coming to the closing of this wonderful day. And we're going to go back again to Psalm number 16 and reading in verse number 5. Remembering thee do I put my trust. Thou art my Lord. I've no good beyond thee. The saints that are in the earth, the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Then verse number 4, their sorrow shall be multiplied at hasten after, exchange me of her gifts to another God. Thank God for all who have been telling us there have been gods in the lines prior to coming here. Spirit of God has placed his finger upon one and another, and they'll be getting alone with God and doing business with God, and that's what we appreciate more and more. Just the fact of the individual believer getting alone, battling this thing out, and from their very heart praying, the dearest idol I've known, whatever that idol be, help me, dear Lord, to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So the psalmist said, their sorrow shall be multiplied at hasten after another God. He said, the drink offerings will I not offer. He will not offer offerings to the living God. He will not even mention the names of these particular gods. And he said, I'll bring their name before him. What a wonderful pattern. What a wonderful call to practical separation we have here. And now we come down to verse 5. We looked a little at this morning, didn't we? The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. We tried to link the two together, the last phrase of verse number 6 with the first phrase of verse number 5. I have a goodly heritage. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Now, you love that, don't you? We thought of that wonderful inheritance which is ours as the people of God. We went back to various scriptures from the Old Testament and those in the New Testament. That was at the 7:20 meeting. You know, you miss a lot by not getting up to that 7:20 devotional service. It's there, our minds are so clear, our spirit life is alert, and in the quiet of that early hour, we have been very conscious of the Lord's presence with us. Now, I'm thinking just now of this fact here. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. We thought this morning of being a child of God, and what an honor. I trust all of us here tonight are children of God. I trust you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus, and you own him as your very own Lord and Savior. You may say, but aren't we all children of God? Aren't all mankind children of God? Oh, no, beloved. God is the creator of all mankind. He's the father only of those who have believed on his Son. Chapter and verse, Galatians 3, verse number 26. Now are ye the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. John 1 verse number 12. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, the legal right, to become the sons of God. A time when we were not. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. We are born of God. We are born into God's family. We don't grow up into God's family. It is not by blood. It is not hereditary. Because my parents were Christians, that did not mean I was automatically going to become a Christian. Oh no. Not by the will of the flesh. No matter how exemplary my life, no matter how sterling my character, no matter how noble my name, no matter how much I may try and will, it's not by the will of the flesh, neither is it by the will of man. No ordinance any man can confer upon me, whether christening, confirmation, or vaccination are all about the same, or baptizing by immersion, or becoming a communicant, or becoming a church member. No, no, beloved, it is not by the will of man. We must be born of God. Oh, I trust all of us know this joy tonight. I've been able to sing from your heart, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Oh, are you a child of God? You say, I hope so. My friend, tonight you may know so, that you are a child of God. You may know you've passed from death unto life. You may know you've come from darkness into light, from bondage into liberty, from hate into love. That's what it means to be a child of God. But the Bible says, because we are children of God, we are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. We talked a little about being a joint heir with Christ this morning. All that the Father has is given to the Son. And because we are in Christ, we share everything that Christ has, the wonder of it all. Oh, what a wealthy people we are. And what a victorious people we are. What a powerful people we are, because we are in Christ Jesus. My good brother, this morning, finish with these words. We are complete in Christ. Complete. We are made full in Christ. We quoted that verse from Colossians 2, verse number 9, did we not? But it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. Then the next verse says, he looks into your heart, he looks into my heart, saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and knowing the joy of the indwelling Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. But Galatians 4:6 says, because we are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. And because we have the Spirit indwelling us, he says, now ye are my children. And he said, you're complete, you're made full, lost in all the fullness that's treasured up in him. No wonder we so often sing, oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ who lives in me. Not only am I in Christ, wonder of wonders, but now he by his Spirit lives in me. And I want to underscore this. There is an indissoluble union. Nothing on earth, nor in heaven, nor in hell can separate us from the love of God that's treasured up in God's beloved Son. Get some other wonder. We are complete in him. In him. Remember the story of Noah and in the ark. For 120 years they were in the building of that wonderful ark. The moment came when the Lord said, calling Noah, his wife, and all his family into the ark. Eight precious souls, eight precious people entered into the ark. The door stood open wide for another 7 days. Noah stood in that door, I think I can see him now, calling to the people to come in. God's going to send judgment God's going to send a flood come in. Probably some of those people had help in the building of that same ark. Let me have even Noah's carpenters helping in the building of the ark. And all the time they've approved the whole idea why we've never seen rain. We've never seen rain. And he tells us it's going to rain from heaven. Oh, the poor old fellow's got a slate loose. There's something wrong somewhere. He's suffering from religious mania. Poor man Noah. Now, my friend, God in his long suffering kept that door open for 7 days. Then the Lord said to Noah, shut the door. Did he? Not at all. The Lord shut the door. And when the Lord shuts the door, no man can open that door. And when the Lord opens the door, no man can shut the door. But now, my friend, now the rain began to fall. The springs are opened up. And what happens? My friend, the rain comes down and down. The people look toward that ark. They see now the rain. And then they come knocking. Noah! Noah, open to us. Open to us, Noah. We believe you now, Noah. But it was far too late. Noah couldn't open that door. Did we not hear the jealous people? And you sung beautifully tonight, girls and boys. You really did. I really appreciate that so much. Didn't my heart go? But they came now, but it's too late. They came now, they believe now, but it's too late. They would not believe the testimony Noah gave. They would not believe that testimony. And they came knocking, Noah! Noah, open to us, Noah! But Noah couldn't open that door. The Lord had shut that door. And there they saw the ark borne up now upon the face of the deep. The branches of the highest mountain. They looked out upon the ark. We might have been in. We could have been in that ark. But oh, we would not believe the testimony. We would not believe Noah. They climbed the highest tree. The water came up, covering the mountain. Up, the tree, up, up. And they saw all the animals there floating around upon the top of the water. And they looked up. And they saw that ark, the only place of safety, the only place of salvation, and they might have been in that ark, but they would not believe. They would not believe, and they perished. That only one state to take from without within, and they perished. My friend tonight, may I ask you very lovingly, are you tonight in the ark, Christ Jesus, or are you tonight exposed to the judgment of a holy God? Friend tonight, the cry is, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Oh, will you come tonight? Will you take that step tonight from judgment to justification, from bondage into liberty, from death into life, from darkness into light? And there's only one step. Oh, will you take that step tonight? I know the joy, just as Noah and his family were safe and secure in that ark. Please, oh please, it was not the gopher wood that kept up the floods of judgment. Not at all. The ark was pitch within and without was pitch. And it was not the perfect exemplary life of my adorable Lord Jesus that saved your soul and mine. It was that precious, precious blood that was shed upon the cross. And without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. But thank God tonight for all who are in Christ Jesus, tonight, beloved, they're accepted in Him and they're covered by the efficacious blood of our adorable Lord and are free from judgment. How do I know? Because Romans 8, verse number 1 says, there's therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, how saved, oh, how secure we are in Christ. Noah may have looked out through that one window and seen, my friend, all the waters of deluge, all the floods of judgment, and there he was so safe and so secure in the ark. Just like the conies, they were safe and secure in the cleft of the rock. Just like you place the letter in the envelope and it is sealed, so tonight all have received Christ by faith into their heart. They're accepted in and they're complete in Christ. Where are you tonight, my friend? Where are you? Oh, you see, I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm a child of God. I hope I'm really in Christ. Oh, friend, please leave the band of hope and say with your heart tonight with all sincerity, by God's grace and by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by trusting that precious blood, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Oh, how safe, oh, how secure you are in Him. Because we are in Christ Jesus, and as He is before the Father, so are we tonight down here on the mountaintop. Not a spot, not a blemish, not a wrinkle, not any such thing. God has accepted His beloved Son in all His inflexible holiness, in all His intrinsic righteousness, in all the glory and the wonder of His own glorious person. And my friend and dear brother Christian said last night, as he placed those glasses in the glass case, he said, now God sees no longer Jim Boswell. He sees Christ. And God sees you no longer as a Christian. He sees you in Christ. But please, oh please, would Peter Pell say, because you are then thee. Because you're holy in Christ and live a holy life. Because you're righteous and live a righteous life. Thank God we are accepted in the Beloved. Perfect as He is perfect. Holy as He is holy. Righteous as He is righteous. And no one dare raise the accusing finger. We sometimes sing, I hear the accuser roar of ills that I have done. I know them well and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. Aren't you glad that under the blood tonight? Oh, the joy, the old life completely blotted out. And we heard, the Bible says, that those that are in Christ Jesus, they're a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Friend, where are you tonight? Where are you? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Now, because I'm in Christ, now I think of that wonderful scripture, in Romans chapter 6, I love to delve into that one day when I don't know this. He's going very, very fast. But I love to get to Romans 6 because you can't come to Romans 12 until you've been to Romans 6. You know that? How many people try to come to Romans 12 and the young people and all of you are able to yield their bodies and they try with all sorts of and have the purities, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work. You know why? Because we've been trying to consecrate their old flesh. You must come to Romans 6. And my friend, recognize your old man. All you are is a child of Adam and was crucified with Christ. And you take side with God against your old self life. And now you hear Romans 12, Romans 6, 11 coming in here. They likewise reckon ye yourself be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The negative side, you're dead indeed unto sin. But now you're alive unto God. And then what does the Bible say? As those that are alive unto God, now come and yield yourselves. Present your bodies, a living sacrifice, the old man being put away. And the reckoning of God, God is the old man crucified with Him. Our dear brother this morning read a scripture, the Matthew's Gospel, a very striking scripture too. The Lord met the men in the market square. And He said to them, why stand ye all day idle? Why stand ye all day idle? Remember the answer? Because no man has hired us. No man has hired us. The same Greek word is used in Romans 6:6. But it says, as the body of sin might be destroyed. Your old Adamic, my old man, that, by the way, young people, that doesn't refer to your father. And don't you call your father the old man. And don't you call your mother the old lady. Remember, they're still mum and dad. And respect them. And appreciate them too. Remember, an old man, all I am is a child of Adam. All I am by nature. The Bible says, no, you don't, you know, says Paul. Don't you realize? How many Christians here may not know this? You may not know it. You may not theoretically. You may know it scripturally. You may know it doctrinally. I did for years without entering into it experientially. I knew all of the doctrine, I knew all of the faith, and taught it all over the place. When this truth dawned upon me by divine revelation, it revolutionized my life and my ministry. And I never cease to preach wherever I go. The Paul said, no, you don't, you know, your old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, rendered idle, unemployed, discharged, made inoperative, put out of action. That's all the same Greek word. And now get this. The old man, my friend, was rendered idle. It's still there. Still there. And we'll be there till the Lord comes, or we pass through the arsenal of death. When an old man is up tingling a root, a weed, and put it out and thrown away, what they call eradication. Oh no. Same thing about this is this. Those people who teach the eradication of the old man also teach the fallen away doctrine. I can't reconcile that at all, can you? Oh, my friend, not at all. Now, may I help you right here? The old Adamic nature is still there and will be there. But now, listen, you've got a new life, as we said this afternoon in the question period. We got a new life. We got a divine nature, a life which is life from above. We got the very life of God indwelling us. But my friend, now, and the reckoning of God, the old life, has been crucified with Christ and put out of the way. But we only know from experience only too well. The old nature is still there. But please get this, Christian. Get this. What God has reckoned by faith, by grace, He wants us now to reckon by faith. He said, know ye not, your old man was, has been crucified with Christ. He wants you to know the meaning of your whole crucifixion. That when Christ died, you died. When He was buried, you were buried. When He arose, you arose. When He ascended, you ascended. When He took His place at God's right hand, you took your place in Him, in victory. To share now the fullness of that throne, to share now the joy of reigning with Christ in life. Not just in the coming, but here and now. That's what it means to be a Christian. Not because you've been saved from hell, and you're Pharisee, and want to be put in heaven by and by. Oh, that's a very poor, negative way of preaching the gospel. Oh, friends, think of the positive aspect. What you've been brought into as a child of God. All this victory is your victory. All this purity is your purity. All this power is your power. All this love is your love. This life and life in abundance is yours because you're in Christ. Because you're in Christ. Is it real to you, my friend? Are you in the good of this tonight? Or do you just know theoretically? Oh, beloved, by grace, by faith, enter into your possessions in Christ Jesus. I'm quoting Obadiah verse 17. Possess your possessions. Don't stand out and admire. Enter in and possess. And know the joy of all that is yours in our adorable Lord Jesus. May I pause here? The old man rendered idle. And I want to suggest to you very lovingly, yet very sincerely, do you know your old Adamic nature can't work unless you employ it. Do you know that? You can't lose your temper unless you employ it. You can't be impatient or irritable or moody unless you employ it. And all that comes from the old Adamic nature. God, I reckon it. How moody we get. How sulky we get. How irritable. How impatient. How unlovable and unloving we are. All springs from the old nature. And friend, that can't take place unless you employ it. It's a death after your will. Do you know that? Because no man has hired me. No man has hired us. That's what it said. And God says your old man is rendered idle. And the old man can't work. The old man can't operate unless you employ him. That's why you surrender your will to him tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what God has reckoned by grace, He wants you to reckon by faith. Likewise, reckon yourself to be dead to but a lie. I love this. And dear old Doc got dead used to say, this is the bridge that brings you out of Romans 7 into Romans 8 and to live there. And the captive of Romans 7 becomes a conqueror in Romans 8. Am I going too fast for you? Oh, friend, listen. The captive who said 32 times the great big capital I. He was an eye specialist, you know. It capitalized in his capital eyes. I. And when you come to Romans 8, it's no longer the great capital I's never mentioned. But I tell you what, 19 times the Holy Spirit is referred to. He's not referred to once in verse number chapter 7. Not once. It's all the great big I. No wonder Paul said at the end of the chapter, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore is now no condemnation of them. They're in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, no defeat, no separation, no accusation. Oh, the wonder of this glorious joy. Why, we're in Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe? Is it real in your life right now, dear children of God? And now, here's the point. I'm alive unto God. Now get this. As one who's alive unto God, then says Paul, yield. Yield. Now this is a definite, deliberate act. Just as that is the moment you're born again, is that moment as a Christian, you yield your whole life, spirit and soul and body, unreservedly and unconditionally to Him. You may know it theoretically, you may reckon by faith and not know the power, and you never will until you yield. It's a death, deliberate act of yield. That means you are yielding. Why? Yield yourself. Immediately, entirely, lovingly, and decisively. Dear Bill came to me this afternoon about this glorious verse, Galatians 2:20. And what does it say? The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, here's practical Christianity. Here's something really full of love. The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me. And you take the last three words and you read them backwards. And what do you read? It shall be me for Himself. That's love responding to love. Love be reciprocated. The Son of God, and we from our hearts may cry, take my love, O Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. And friend, I love to develop this, but time will not allow. Let me, I just pause here. I don't say this. You say, look, what are you getting at? Oh, I want you to see. Then John Romans 6, we've been planted together in the likeness of his death. He died. I died. His death is my death. Not my trying to die. Not my trying to crucify myself. That happened 2,000 years ago. When Christ died, I died. An illustration. I was in the land of Georgia. I go there from time to time. They put up with me. But I got a lot of spiritual children in the land of Georgia. And there's something right here in this conference now. One of those fellows is a prophet at that particular time at Georgia Tech. That was a high school teacher, see? Both the same Lord's Day. I spoke at the Business and Professional Women's Club. They flew me in from Washington to do that. Between 300 and 400 women gathered there at that particular club. Three women sat before me. They'd asked to sit there at the head table. I only knew one of them. One girl said, will you please pray for my husband? I said, I'd be happy to do that. When were you, say, 3 months ago? I said, who led you to Christ? I said, Evelyn did. Another little girl said beside her, said, will you please pray for my husband? She said, I'd be happy to do that. Said, who long you been, says, a month. Who led you to Christ? Says, Carol did. This is interesting. I said, I lead Evelyn to Christ. Evelyn leads Carol to Christ, and Carol leads you to Christ, Mary. So Evelyn's my daughter, you're my granddaughter, you're my great-granddaughter. So I certainly will pray for your husband. And before that vast group dispersed, I said there's a request for prayer, and we're going to pray. Without mentioning any names, we pray for those two men on the Wednesday luncheon. God save them both on Sunday. That's the God we've come to know. And some people have been prayed for here, and I believe God's going to save them tonight. Do you know that? I believe God's going to save them tonight. Right here, He's going to save them without the shadow of a doubt. I baptized the folks along with some others who are here tonight, that particular baptismal service. I'll never forget this. They asked me if I'd go and see Georgia Tech playing Auburn University in a cup tie. Now, I had never seen any of your football in my life. I play football with my feet. You call it soccer. And you know, I can hardly pass a tin can now without kicking that kick. It's in my blood. It gets in you, and I just can't get past it, tell you the truth. Anyway, but by the way, that was a God in my life as a teenager. It came between the Lord and I to do something about it. I'd let it go. I was on my way to international fame as a soccer player. But when they began playing on Sunday, that was a terrible test. And I couldn't do it. I let it go.
But I got down there, and there they were,
and of course, as they had been there on the faculty, that particular time, I was very happy to have such a vantage point, because see the whole field there, there were 22 full-blooded men down there in that field, all the 50 pounds worth of padding on, a crash helmet, and a face guard, and I didn't know one thing they were doing. Not one thing. I could understand those 22 full-blooded men fighting for little pumpkins. I couldn't understand that at all. And when they got into this huddle, I started having a prayer meeting for the next move. Right. I tell you, honest, I didn't know one thing they were doing. I when they stood up, I should, when they yelled, I yelled, but didn't know what I was standing up for, didn't know what I was yelling about. By the second quarter, I began to get into it. And by the fourth quarter, I was well into it. And by the fourth quarter, when I stood up, I knew what I was standing up for. When I yelled, I knew what I was yelling about. I knew what happened. Georgia won 44-7. It was a glorious day for Georgia.
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, that's right. Oh, the different card. Yes, Georgia Tech won 44-7. On the way home, of course, we came to the stop sign, and Hosea, he stopped there, you see. Wise thing to do. But a man on the side said, I see Butch. He was also champion wrestler, by the way, for the Southern Colleges. His wrestling name was Butch. His right name is Hosea. Says, hey, say Butch, who won? Says, we won 44-7. So I pulled his coat here and said, you told that man a lie. So I never did. I said, you did. You told him a lie. He said, we won 44-7. I said, listen, you didn't play in that game. And you know right telling that man, one of you didn't play. But he said, but Jim, that team was chosen to represent the school. And because that team won the whole school show, it was only representing the school, Jim. And that was the team chosen to represent. And because they won the whole school share of the victory. I said, that's true. But I said, you had no right telling that man we won. You told them a lie by telling him we won 44-7 and you didn't play. So Louis, haven't you any great matter at all? I said, not very much, but I got that much. You're going to go back all over again. He said, but don't worry. I understand perfectly what you're saying. But for the last 3 weeks, I've been trying to get into your skull that when Christ died upon the cross, you died. And just as you did not literally play in that game that you shared the victory, you did not literally die upon that cross. The nails did not literally go through your hands and feet. You died in the person you represented. His death is your death, man. Don't you see it? Oh, it's Jim, how stupid I've been. I think I had thought that for 3 weeks. But now, I want you to get this. Friend, you see that tonight. Young people, do you see it? So many people are trying to die. And you're already dead. Just remind me of the tortoise. His full head was severed from his body. A car ran over it, severed its head from its body. Mike goes along. He sees the poor thing's head off. And so Pat goes along. And he says, the poor thing's dead. Patrick isn't dead. His legs are moving. His legs are still moving. Stop saying. He's got life there. I tell you that thing's dead because its head's off. I tell you it's not dead because its legs are moving. As Murphy goes along, says, Murphy, look, says, Pat says this thing's alive because it's moving. I say it's dead because it's head off. What do you say, Murphy? Sure, be dead. You're both right. The fool thing's dead but doesn't know it. And you know, there are a lot of Christians just like that. They're dead, but they're trying to die. A young school teacher came to me one day at Grell Conference Center. I said, Uncle Jim, I did a figure of speech. Uncle Jim, I'm trying so hard to crucify myself. I looked straight at her and said, my dear, you're trying to do the impossible. You may put yourself out by poisoning yourself, by shooting yourself, or by cutting your throat, but you can never put yourself out by crucifying yourself. So what do you mean? I said, look, if somehow you've got the nail through your feet, got the nail through that hand, who's going to put the nail through this hand? I never thought of it. It's impossible. I said, yes, impossible. You're 2,000 years too late. You're already crucified. You were crucified in the person you're representative. When Christ died, you died. But Uncle Jim, I don't feel dead. I said, what do dead people feel? Have you got it? Are you trying to feel dead? Take God at His word. Rest upon God. How do you know you're saved? You take God at His word, don't you? How do you know you've died? You take God at His word. How do you know Christ lives in you? Because some little light shining before you, some little bell doing your hand, some little thing trickling down your spine. No! You take God at His word. I love
I am crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And though I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, let me ask you lovingly, how I wish I were just starting. I know you got my message tonight yet. Let me ask you lovingly, with all sincerity, has this truth dawned upon you? Are you in Christ? Are you a child of God? If not, will you trust him tonight? Will you come to him tonight? And receive him as your very own Lord and Savior? You know this joy I'm talking about? All this can be your joy. This peace can be your peace. This purity can be your purity. This power can be your power. How many people come up to me and say, oh please, will you please pray the Lord to give me patience? For my wife prays for patience, Lord, you just send me home. Tribulation worketh patience. But it's not quite as bad as all that, not really, but but they come and say, Lord, please, and they got the brainy idea that God's going to bundle up a bundle of patience and put the name upon it and drop it down and say, there you are, my dear, there's your patience. He doesn't do that. He is your patience. And when you just feel like blowing your top, you say, Lord, please take over in this situation. A woman came in, a very dear woman, all sincerity, said, Mr. Basil, this Bible victory you're preaching, is it for a mother with seven children in a two-roomed house? And I looked straight at her and said, with all my love, I said, my dear, if it were not for you, with seven children in a two-roomed house, I would never preach it again. I saw that woman only a few months ago, this happened years ago, and she came and she put her arm right around me and said, Jim, he works. He works. And said, when I got in that corner and I just felt like bubbling and crying, I thought, please take over in this situation. And all the peace, all the inner serenity. Oh, said Jim, I got rid of my ulcers. Oh, they've learned the secret. Christ is the life of the lie. Have you? Are you still all pent up inside you? All knotted up inside you? Lord, my friend, won't you know this real life? Which is life indeed. This is Christ living in you. Lord, please, oh Lord, send me love. Lord, I'm longing for love. I'm yearning for love. Please send me love. And he got the brainy idea. Like God's going to bundle up a bundle of love and drop it on it with a say, there you are, my darling, there's your love. He doesn't do that. He is your love. He is your patience. He is your love. You're walking down the street. Somebody comes along, always rubs you up the wrong way, and you just feel like popping into some store to avoid it. But now you've learned the secret. For you're my Lord, please love them through me. And he says, oh, come, let's have a cup of coffee. What's gone wrong here? The love life began to flow, you see. That's what it means. Patience, love, purity. What is it? That's what it means to be in Christ. That's your inheritance. Enter in and possess your possession tonight. It's not apple pie in the sky by and by. This is down to earth practical Christianity in the office, in the hospital, in the lab, in the operating theater, right there in the school, on the campus, in the store, in the factory, wherever we are. Christ is the life of my life. Is this real, my friend? This is the inheritance you've been brought into as a child of God. Why stand off, my friend, and admire? Enter in and possess. And know this joy of this life, which is life indeed. Then you look up and say, I have a good heritage. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance. Oh, let us from our very hearts cry. May thy beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel. He is only him. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter. Thy faith let me see. Then thou shalt ever be precious to me. His name was John Walt. He was a married man with three children. He was called up to 1914-18 war. He had a batch of friends who had no family responsibilities nor earthly ties, and his job exempted him from all military service.
But he volunteered to go in his friend's place. He said, "No, you're not going. I'm going," said his friend. He said, "No, let John, I've got no responsibilities. I want to go. I'm physical A1. I want to go and fight in your place." He went. And cutting my long story short, everything went wonderfully well to the last clash. And he was killed in the last battle. Now the last war broke out. And John Watt were from the home office, from the war office, to report. He ignored it. 3 times he got letter and he ignored it. But then they sent the recruiting sergeant. "Are you John Watt?" "Yes, I'm John Watt." "Well, why haven't you reported?" "Why, you've got no claim upon me." He says, "Why, you're John Watt, aren't you?" "Come on." I said, "Not at all. You've got no claim upon me." He says, "You go back and look up your records and you'll find I died in the last war." They went and looked up the and true enough, John Watt, and by a certain number died, a certain battle on a certain day. Now, he did not literally die. He died in a personal substitute. Got that? But my friend, he acted upon that. And when the word came, he ignored him and no claim upon him. When the ring said, "No claim." Friend, the world will come in all its allurement and all its attractions, and will come in all its temptation. And no claim upon him. You died, and now you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to teach you a chorus. In fact, it's been suggested. I'm not doing it tonight, so don't worry. But these are the words, and I close with them. "Reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed to sin, crucified with Christ, that he now may reign within, raised together with the Lord, filled with life in you. Thus the Spirit doth afford victory for you." How may I know victory, so many cry? Commit thyself to Calvary, consent to die. God's way of gain is sinning. Lord, we die to live. And his life comes. As to the cross, my life I give. And only in the measure I am reckoning my own life crucified with Christ, am I going to know Christ in all his fullness living in me. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? If not, will you come to life? Shall we pray? Not knowing the Lord Jesus, but he's been presented to you as the only Lord and Savior. We want you to trust him and to receive him. And as you receive him by faith in your heart, he receives you. And you're in Christ. And you're in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. Maybe some defeated Christian here, you've been living a defeated life. And God's been placing his finger upon this in one area after another area in your life. And quite frankly, you're not the man you used to be. And you know that. You're not the woman you used to be. There's a time when you're ablaze for Jesus Christ. His word was your delight. Your prayer was delightful. You saw answer your prayer. And then your ministry was fruitful. But it's not so tonight. Will you openly make that clear to him now? Father, have thy way. Work by thy Spirit. Bring glory to thy wonderful name and the salvation of precious souls. In the restoration of the backslider, bringing from defeat into glorious victory. Oh, encourage and inspire thy beloved people for thy glory through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen. There's no undue pressing, there's no button holding, but if you're concerned about spiritual matters, please don't go away. We're here to help you. There are many here who don't sit by your side and point you through to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have trusted him, do tell us, that we may rejoice with you.